In 1927 and 1928, Ralph Peer, a talent scout for the Victor Talking Machine Company, set up recording sessions in Bristol, a town which straddles the Tennessee and Virginia borders. The result was essentially the birth of country music, rock historian Ed Ward explains.
I love my Lula Bell, I do, yes, I do. I love my Lula Bell, I do, yes, I do. I love my Lula Bell, I do, yes, I do. But I don't expect to see her anymore.
The Victor Company will have a recording machine in Bristol for 10 days beginning Monday to record records, inquired our store. That was the text in a small box that appeared in the Bristol News Bulletin on July 24, 1927. 3 days later, one of the paper's reporters sat in on a recording session where Ralph Peer cut a few sides on Ernest Stoneman and his family. The Stonemans were locals, well known in Bristol, and had a successful career with Victor. He received from the company $3,600 last year as his share of the proceeds on his records, the story said. In other words, about 3.5 times the average national wage. That did it. Starting at 9 on the morning of July 28th, musicians by the score showed up at the Taylor Christian Hat Company building on State Street, Virginia on its north side, Tennessee on the south side, and waited for their chance. The first soon-to-be-famous name to step in front of the microphone was Blind Alfred Reed, a fiddler who would later record the classic How Can a Poor Man Stand Such Times and Live? But aside from a train wreck ballad, he recorded sacred material.
Be denied, you must unload, you must unload. You're robbing God's own treasury to feed yourself in pride. You must unload. The way is straight and narrow, and but few are in the road. My brother and my sister, is there no other road? If you want to get to heaven, your future.
Peer must have figured the rural market wanted white gospel music because he sure recorded a lot in Bristol. One of his favorites, and mine, is the very formal-sounding Alfred G. Carnes, who had just bought a Gibson harp guitar for $375 to accompany himself.
In the foreign heathen country where the people know not God, I am going there to preach his precious word. Where they bow to worship idols, I am going there to stay. Where I'll labor in the vineyard of the Lord. I'll soon be with my loved ones in my happy heavenly home. Even now the thought my soul with rapture thrills. So goodbye, my friends and brethren, for the time has come to go. I must leave you on the dear old battlefield. I am called a
But Stoneman and his friends and family had also shown Peer that traditional music sold, so J.P. Nestor and Norman Edmonds got their chance, too, and recorded a classic.
Train on, I don't see about yet is creel. Go tell my true love, but can't roll the wheel. I can't roll the wheel, but I can't roll the wheel. Train on, I don't see not yet it blow. Go tell my true love, sick and I can't go. Sick and I can't go.
Nobody seems to know what the lyrics to Train on the Island mean, but picking like that, who cares? Nestor and Edmonds led off Monday, August 1st sessions at 12:30, but at 5:30, two women and a man stepped into the room, and everything changed.
Oh, yes, under the wind. weeping willow tree. So he may know where I am sleeping, and perhaps he will weep for me.
A.P. Carter, his wife Sarah, and Sarah's teenage sister Maybelle Addington were from the surrounding countryside in Macy Springs, Virginia, and Pierre knew he had struck gold, especially when Maybelle and Sarah came back the next morning and cut two duets. The Carter family, as they called themselves, became one of the biggest acts in America, continuing on in this original form until 1942. Lightning struck again on Thursday the 4th. The Tenever Ramblers were four young men who had been working out of Asheville, North Carolina, whom Pierre had encouraged to audition. Nobody's sure just what happened, but by the time Thursday came around, their lead singer had left them and recorded two songs by himself.
Sleep, baby, sleepy. Behold the old bright eye. Listen.
Tuberculosis would kill Jimmy Rogers 5 years later, but he probably sold more records for Victor than any artist before Elvis. And yes, the Tenever Ramblers got their chance later that afternoon, but they don't sound very special. Pierre packed up his equipment and took his masters with him to Camden, New Jersey, to start pressing the many keepers he'd recorded. He returned to Bristol the next year, between October 27th and November 4th, 1928. His only major find this time was the Stamps Quartet, whose Come to the Savior sold 13,792 copies, the most of any of the Bristol recordings. The Stamps, in one form or another, continued through 1980 and counted Elvis Presley as a major fan. But my favorite from the 1928 sessions was the wonderfully named Shortbuckle Rourke and Family, who concluded Ralph Peer's epic act of discovery with a classic.
I wish to the Lord I never been born or died when I was young. I never would have seen them two brown eyes or heard that clattering tongue, my lover, heard that clattering tongue. I truly understand that you love another man, and your heart shall no longer be mine. Who will shoe your little feet? Who will glove your hands? Who will kiss your red rose cheeks when I'm in the foreign land, my love, when I'm in the foreign land? I truly understand that you love another man, and your heart shall no longer be mine.
Ed Ward reviewed the Bristol Sessions, 1927 to 1928, on Bear Family Records.